Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, which is no longer the Rapture Ready Radio Network. I just remembered. They actually changed the name to Christian Sentinel Radio. So we're not using the Rapture Ready Radio name anymore, but the network is still on Blog Talk Radio, but it's now called Christian Sentinel Radio. So I think if you still type in the search for Rapture Ready Radio, it will direct you to the link, I think, for Christian Sentinel Radio. So it's Jackie Alnor's network, and it's related also to her magazine that she does online called The Christian Sentinel. And there's some great articles there if you want to read. Anyway, they tell me that they can hear me. So, praise the Lord. I guess we're going. The funny thing is I've got my other computer on and I don't hear a thing here for this program, but my friend Shannon in the chat room, she tells me that she can hear. So I'm going to go ahead with the broadcast and we'll go from there. We'll see how it works, right? We'll see if we're recording. It's not anything on our end. There was something going on with Blog Talk Radio last week. They were having some technical issues, and it lasted for a few days because I tried to get back on a few times on Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday. And it was a no-go, but praise the Lord. We tried at 1 o'clock and it didn't work, but now it's working. Thank you, Jesus, so we can finally get this show on the road. Amen. Also, I wanted to clear something up because I did get an email from one of our listeners, and I think she misunderstood something that I had said a few weeks ago when we were talking about people saying that Jesus was just a man. That upsets me so much when people say that he was just a man, and these are supposedly Christian people that say this. Jesus in Philippians, I think it's Philippians 1 or 2. Anyway, I can't remember exactly where it is at the moment, but it says that Jesus came in the King James. It says that he came in the fashion of a man. So he looked like a man. But he never laid down his divinity. He was always God in the flesh. And I believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't believe in the doctrine that some people espouse where they say God is Jesus, the Holy Spirit is Jesus, and God Jesus is Jesus. They call it Jesus only. So they don't believe in one God in three persons. And there's also something that T.D. Jakes espouses, and that is this doctrine where he believes in one God in three manifestations. Well, it's kind of a play on words that they use, but no, there's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to clear that up. And I think we have to be careful sometimes when I don't know why people get off on this. I know there's some people on YouTube and different websites that they talk about Jesus and the way they talk about him, it's quite alarming, really. But they can take a scripture or even a word in a scripture, and then they try to make a doctrine out of it. And there's some things that we're never going to understand in this life. And for me, I don't try to figure things out that I can't understand. So it's like we say, God always was and he always will be. Well, can you figure that out? No. No, you can't figure it out. So why try to drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out? Some things we just accept by faith, and we can't figure it out. And so what's happened to some people in the past, like William Branham and people like that, they can take a scripture and they make a doctrine out of it. I think he had that serpent seed doctrine, which was a weird thing. But see, people get off on these things. Just when you read the word, just read it as it is, and don't try to put deeper meanings into things where there isn't a deeper meaning that should be necessary. There's so many people, and really Paula White is one of those people where she could take a word and she puts a totally different meaning to a word, and she'll have four or five different meanings to a word. It has nothing to do with the meaning of the word as far as the scripture goes. So to me, it's confusing. And so some things are just, it's just better that we don't try to read things into the word of God that aren't there. And we had talked a few weeks ago about Todd White, and he hangs around with some crazy guy that they say Jesus was just a man when he walked the earth. Well, he was not. God cannot stop being God. There's no way that God can say, I'm not God anymore. And so it's ridiculous. And I don't like anything that demeans Jesus, because who could take his place? And who lays down their life for us like he did? Who comes down from heaven? Who would want to leave heaven in the first place? But he did. He left heaven and came to earth to die for us, to die for our sins, miserable sinners that we were. And we were miserable sinners. But thank you, Jesus, that he saved us, he redeemed us, and we know that we have a home in heaven one day. And that it's another thing. Try to figure out everlasting life. You think you're going to live forever? You know, try to figure that one out. You can't. You know, for the natural mind, when you think about it, you think it's hard to understand. So while we're here on earth, we see through the glass darkly. We don't see everything. And we don't know everything, because we don't have we have the mind of Christ, but we don't have the abilities of God to create things out of nothing and to speak things into existence by our words. We're just human beings just trying to get along on this earth, and it gets crazier by the day. Now, the things that are happening all around us, it's like, when is this ever going to end? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to end. I think it'll probably just continue to get worse. And the lawlessness that we're seeing is unbelievable. Just, you can't believe it. And you think to yourself, well, I hope it doesn't come to my neighborhood. Imagine these poor people have to live in these neighborhoods where they're standing out on the street in broad daylight and people are shooting them and shooting their children. Insanity. And, but the Bible says that in the end times, there's going to be lawlessness and there's going to be pestilence. Nothing like we've ever seen before on this earth, what we're seeing now. And does it stop the false prophets and the false teachers? No, it doesn't stop them. They're crazier than ever. Somebody sent me a video today, because we had also talked about this a few months ago, when Benny Hinn, supposedly he repented for his asking people to give God $1,000. And he was always begging people for the $1,000 seed so that God could answer your prayers. And he said he was not going to do that anymore, that he realized that it was wrong. And Benny Hinn's a liar. Benny Hinn is an outright liar. And he says now he's changed his tune. And now he's back to peddling the $1,000 seed. He's got, in this video, they say that he's got the audio up on his Facebook page, or I think it was a program that he did in July. And he's got that Dan, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now, but he's got this Pastor Dan, supposedly, from Chicago, another hustler. And so they're on there and they're asking for the $1,000 and telling you that you give the $1,000, God's going to give you property and he's going to cancel your debts, blah, blah. Oh, I wouldn't want to be Benny Hinn. Oh, I would not want to be Benny Hinn. But you can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And if the Bible says that he's a liar, I'm going to say it. He's a liar. Because, first of all, God doesn't need any money. What's God going to do with it? I don't know. When God was creating the heavens and the earth, did he say, I need $5? No. No. Did Jesus walk around with a bucket in his hand and say, I need $5 before I can do anything for you? Actually, I'm tone deaf unless you put some money in my hand. How stupid can people be? Now, I know I was stupid one time when I believed the seed faith doctrine, so I was stupid myself, but it's time to come out of this fog that people are in, and we have to change things. We have to change things because this is wrong. And people are hurting right now. People are hurting. They're saying that probably 50% of the businesses aren't going to come back. They're not going to survive. So that's going to be how many people, millions of people that are going to be out of work. Well, they'll have to try to find something else to do. I know for me, I'm not getting on an airplane. No, no way. No, I'm not getting on any airplanes. And I don't care if I eat out or I go to the movies or anything like that. That doesn't bother me one bit. But it's crazy times. And you would think that when we as a church are at the mercy of God, look, churches, the church buildings for the most part are still closed down. And even when they open up, people aren't really going as much as they were going. Who knows? Yeah, see, here's Shannon from San Diego, and she's saying that 60% of the restaurants there are permanently closed, and that is terrible. That is terrible. So our hearts go out to these people. That's why as a church, you could just cry for these people because this is how they earned their living and this is how they paid their mortgage. So, and how can the body of Christ, how can people that call themselves Christians then turn around and fleece people and tell them that if they give $1,000, then they're going to get their bills, God's going to help them with their bills or whatever. Oh, it's just disgusting, but we have to change things. And let's have a revolution and talk about a revolution. Let's have a revolution and say, no, we are not going to serve your false god of mammon. And that's about what it is. Eventually, Benny Hinn's going to have to go away, hopefully, because when their money runs out and they were all getting money from this payroll protection plan, all these ministries that weren't able to make their payroll, there was a $7 billion that went out to churches to pay the salaries. $1.4 billion went to the Catholic Church. Now imagine that. Imagine that the Catholic Church would ever need any money. All they would have to do is sell one of their valuable pieces of artwork there in St. Peter's, and they would never have another financial problem, or they could sell their Vatican library. But no, they took a government bailout. Oh, believe it or not, greed. But when the money runs out, there won't be any more government bailouts. No, there won't be any more government bailouts. Some of these people got a reprieve temporarily, but it's not going to last. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart. He got between $3 and $5 million. And Jim Baker took some money. He got somewhere between $350,000 to $1 million. Robert Morris, I think, took money. Oh, there's a whole list, and we'll go over that list in some upcoming programs, because it's amazing how Paula White, she took money. She brags that, oh yes, we've been able to pay people. Yeah, well, tell people why you've been able to pay people on your staff, because you took a government loan. It wasn't because God was blessing you supernaturally. Oh, please. They can't stop lying. Can't stop. Just tell people the truth. Thank God. We don't operate that way. We operate on a very limited budget, and we don't do anything unless the money's there. We just don't do it. I'm not about to go into debt and get myself into trouble just because I want fame and fortune. And that's what a lot of these people do, is they go into massive debt because you have to help them fulfill their vision. And their vision usually has a mansion in there for them. And their vision usually has an airplane in there for them, which many of them have recently bought jets. And that's their vision, but you have to help them fulfill their vision. Well, wouldn't it be nice if all of us could say, get on television and get on the radio and say, help me fulfill my vision. And when you help me fulfill my vision, I'm going to buy a $10 million mansion, and I'm going and I'm going to buy myself a $50 million airplane like Morris Cirillo did at one point. He had a $50 million jet. And now imagine that. Really, at that point, I think, and you think you're a minister of the gospel, but at that point, you're just a crazy person. You just lost your mind, really, because that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Is that you're supposed to give some preacher money so he can get filthy rich, and meanwhile, the rest of the church is taking the bus and they're riding around in $50 million jets. It's a Ponzi scheme. Really, it's a Ponzi scheme because the person at the top is the person that's getting all the money. It's not the people that are giving the $1,000 seeds and the $10,000 seeds and the $100,000 seeds and whatever else they can pick your pocket for. No, it's them. It's the person at the top who is reaping the benefits. You could see most of these pastors like Ed Young Jr. and Robert Morris and Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar and Paula White. They all live in million-dollar homes. They were over million-dollar homes. They don't drive Kias. They drive Cadillacs and Maseratis and Rolls Royces and Bentleys. And that's fine if you earn the money honestly, because it's none of our business how someone that has a business or somebody that is clever enough to earn money. It's none of our business how they spend it. That's their money. But when they're telling you that when you give money to me, God will bless you, and then they enrich themselves off of the backs of the poor and the needy, then that's despicable. That's despicable. But, yeah, amen. That's right. Pay the bills. That's right. And it's going to come down to that eventually, is that the church, what is the church? It's not even a building anymore, because that's what people thought for the longest time, is Sunday go to meeting and you put your best clothes on and you go over to the church house and you have a hallelujah time, and you go out to lunch after and you have fellowship. Well, for the most part, that's over. It may come back. It may come back, but I don't think it's ever going to come back the way it was. So what is the church? What is the body of Christ? Is that it's going to go back to being one-on-one, which it should have been anyway, even without the meeting, which there's nothing wrong with meeting in buildings and the fellowship and having a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's going to go back to the one-on-one witnessing to people, because who's going to invite anybody to church? Most people aren't going to invite people to church because they won't come. They're afraid that they're going to catch something. So they might come, but for the most part, they're not going to. So you can't say, well, now you can't say, you won't have an excuse. You're going to have to witness to people, you know, because you can invite them to church and then the pastor would witness to them for the most part, which there's nothing wrong with that either. But now Christians are going to have to come out of the closet. And we're going to have to be the church, with a building or without a building. And that's the way it's going to be. So, thank you, Jesus. But it's going to be much better for the church at large, because you're not going to have to go over to those fleecing centers on Sunday where they take up two or three offerings and they're going to take your 10%, and then they want the Pastor Appreciation Day. And then you have to buy the pastor's wife something on her day, and then it's the pastor's birthday, and then it's the first lady's birthday, and then it's the children's birthday. I remember one church I went to, on the pastor's birthday, they bought him a boat. And his wife, on her birthday, they bought her a baby grand piano for her living room. I didn't even get a happy birthday. I didn't even get happy birthday, Susan. Nothing. No. So, and it's even worse than that in some churches where, yikes, it comes up to $1 million a year just for all the things you have to buy the pastor and the first lady. It's like, get a life already, please. You are not the first lady. You're just a lady. You're just a lady like anybody else. And quit trying to put yourself up on a throne over there, because you're going to fall off. You're going to fall off that throne eventually. You're going to throw off. Fall off. But let's get back to Morris Cirillo. Morris Cirillo, dead at 88. Morris Cirillo, dead at 88. What? Now, there's people singing his praises and calling him a great man of God. I don't, because he was a scammer. He was a liar and a cheat. And even up until the end, because here he died in July, and I saw a video. In fact, I'm going to play some of the audio of him in May, and he brought his sidekick there. This, I think his name is Greg Morrow, and he brings his sidekick over there to his mansion. And then he's with his mama, who he calls his wife mama. I wouldn't want a mama like that. Look, I'm happy I had the mother that I had. My mother had integrity. She didn't rip people off in the name of Jesus, like Mama Cirillo has done all of her adult life, and Papa Cirillo has done almost all of his adult life. No, my parents didn't rip anybody off, especially in the name of Jesus. So no, I wouldn't want that mama, and I wouldn't want that papa. And you see what kind of a son they raised, David Cirillo. He's worse than his father. Worse. A worse con artist than his father. But even in May, they're there, and they're telling the people how they could get, you have to sow offerings, and you have to give money. And he was building this legacy center for his legacy. Forget your legacy. We don't even want to remember. Just, goodbye. Close the book on that kind of a ministry. There's nothing to remember except that you were a con artist. You lied about Jesus and told people lies about the Lord, that you have to give money to Jesus to get him to answer your prayers. That's a lie. And any so-called minister that does that, we don't want to remember you. We don't care about your legacy. He builds this, I don't know if it was $200 million. He builds this place to himself. Shannon, she should know about it because he built it in San Diego. I don't know if she's seen it. But anyway, he built this monument to himself, and I didn't think he was going to do it. I didn't think he'd ever raise the money to build this place, but he built a hotel and he built a conference center. For what? It's probably empty. Who's going there now? people aren't going to conferences. They might trickle in here and there, but those days are basically over, of these large concerts and conferences, and I don't know if those days will ever come back, but I don't know how he's going to make this thing go, except that David's going to have to start conning people more than he does to keep it going. But he's got videos, and he's got his Bible and his sermon notes. Who cares? about your sermon notes, because almost every time you preached a sermon, it wound up with some kind of a scam at the end. That's all. The Bible was a prop for Morris Cirillo. But anyway, let's listen to this Bible verse.
The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder, and the two cheeks, and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of the gates out of all Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Amen. And we won't be afraid of him, won't we? And won't be afraid of any of those other false prophets and false teachers out there when they speak a lying divination, which a divination is manipulation. So when they tell you, give $1,000 and your bills will be paid and your house will be paid and your children will get off drugs and you'll get household salvation, blah, blah, blah. That's a lying prophet. And that's divination. And I wouldn't want to be them. It's a shame. It's really a shame because it's so much better to serve God. And it's like David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. So it's better to have whatever you have and to be satisfied. And you know, if God wants to give you more, he'll give you more. He'll give you what he thinks you can handle. But why would you want to wind up like these people? They wind up losing their mind and they wind up serving another Jesus. And they don't have peace. How could you have peace when you're scamming people? You can't. You can't have peace. You just can't. Here he is now. Here's Here's Morris with his sidekick there, Greg Morrow. Now, this is in May. So you'll hear how he's talking just 2 months before he died.
You can sow a special offering to supercharge your fast, your prayer.
You know, great. It's also very, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's also incredibly important. There are things we have to do. You come to Passover, God says, bring me the Passover offering. And he said, don't come before me with your hands empty. Bring me the best. You're looking at Passover. This is the best I could do for you. I gave you my only son, and I let him pay the price by the suffering and the anguish that he bore. Now, I'm asking, is it too much to have you come before me with something in your hand? Lay it on the prayer altar. Lay it on the altar of prayer and fasting. Break through your covenant with God to receive all of the answers to prayer that have been being held back because of some reason, some struggling. But you know, you got the key right there in your hand, not just this book, but you got the key. You know, in Legacy, my Bible that I have preached for, probably 70 years now.
Yeah.
The same Bible that has gone around the world, it's in the Legacy Center.
All of your hand notes, all of your little stickies.
You know, it's been rebound 3 times. So it's still together.
Hey, man, I think you've kept it together, Mama.
Oh.
I think your love and I think your sacrifice of your life that you've given for all the partners, for all the friends who are watching us on Facebook right now.
Well,
how they love you.
They're our family. We pray for them all the time.
Oh, I wouldn't
know we say
that
every day, but
it's true.
We pray for them many times, sometimes in one day,
because
you're on our heart and God has given us that responsibility.
You know, Greg, our ministry, which is worldwide in over 100 different nations of the world, where we're ministering, we're training nationals, we're building God a massive army. And while we're doing this all around the world, our donors, and I hope that those that are watching today, after this day, will consider themselves to be covenant partners with us as we do what they can't do. But one thing they can do, I'm sending them in the mail. And if you're not on the mailing list, tell the in-home prayer partner, get me on right away. You can't afford not to receive the special ministry instruction that I give you. I'm sending you this 21 days of breakthrough prayer and fasting. Believe God's prophet. Thus saith the Lord. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, this is part of what I'm going to send to you right away. And inside is an incredible breakthrough message.
Yes, it is.
You want to comment on this?
Well, the greatest...
Or have you done this already on Facebook?
Well, there's always new people that are on every day.
Okay.
But I think the greatest promise of the Word of God are these two words, fear not.
Yes.
And I love this. This is just incredible faith-building ministry, how God wants to take us from fear to faith. And I love the Bible because it doesn't just tell us fear not, but it tells us here's why you don't have to fear.
Yes.
The greatest promise, for I am with you. So, Brother Strollo, what is exciting, not only will our partners get this incredible breakthrough message on fear not in the mail, but if you'll click the link right now and read Brother Strollo's 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting ministry newsletter, this incredible word from God has been connected to that ministry letter.
Amen.
And you also have a place where you can share your prayer request. It'll get to Morris, Teresa, to our team. There's a place where you can sow your special offering of worship. Giving is not an obligation, but it's an incredible opportunity.
Yes.
Fasting and prayer is not an obligation, but
it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Yeah. It's an opportunity. How deceived can you be? You know, how deceived can you be? He actually says, thinks he was a prophet. And God doesn't do anything unless he first tells his prophets. Well, I don't know what God you're talking about, because God certainly didn't tell you to write that thing and to tell people that they have to give money so that they can speed up their faith. No, the money speeds up your faith. The money when it leaves my hand and it goes over to you, it speeds up your faith, because now you've got my money and I don't have it anymore. Sad, right? Sad. That's 2 months before he died. He couldn't stop scamming. Couldn't stop scamming. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the words come out of Morris Cirillo's mouth? Is, I have sinned, God. Forgive me. Body of Christ, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me for all my years of conning you and lying to you. Please forgive me. I would have loved to have heard that from him. But no, he didn't stop. He didn't stop. It's like addicted to scamming. They're addicted to scamming just like a heroin addict is addicted to heroin. They can't stop themselves. Let's listen to this Jeremiah 14.
Chapter 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there is no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place.
And the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword, and if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things.
Amen. Sobering, sobering words. Here's an audio. This is a real fluff piece that the Morris Cirillo ministry did, a biography. They really glorified this man. And here's the biography that they did about him.
Healings revitalized historic churches. Thousands and now hundreds of thousands of people found freedom. But the story was about to take another turn. In 1962, after a vigorous crusade in Porto Alegre, Brazil, a weary Morris knelt in prayer. He humbly asked God to
give me the ability to take what you have given to me and to give it to somebody else.
God audibly replied,
I don't want it.
Son, build me an army. There was no opting out. This was world evangelism on a massive scale. Those marching orders define everything. Now Morris Cirillo would pass on God's anointing on his life to Christians on every continent.
For a divine purpose, so that you will know that what you have seen.
First engaged the latest technology, radio in the early years, then award-winning television specials, a global daily ministry program, the schools of ministry with the global satellite network, and now a strong internet presence. God gave his servant wisdom and strength to raise up Christian leaders on every continent, God's victorious army. And marching along side by side were faithful supporters whose generous gifts enabled this army to reach the front lines of spiritual battle.
And you...
The impact of Morris Cirillo on the world is that of a spiritual giant, a gifted man of God with a heart for the lost and a global vision to reach them. From his early tent crusades to the Million Soul Crusade, the Billion Soul Crusade, and ultimately training 5 million Christians, Morris Cirillo thinks big. His work proves that nothing is impossible when God's people work in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And his wife, Teresa, as Mama. She was mother to the nations, helping
Mama.
Morris start global initiatives, organize crusades, and even stepping in to help orphans. Truly, she was the neck that turned the head.
We affectionately call her Mama because she's mother to millions of people around the world.
Mama.
We love her and affectionately hold on to her for spiritual life and for her prayers. Stand up, sweetheart.
Come on. Look at the most beautiful woman in the world.
She also took care of the Cirillo home while Morris traveled, often 200 days of the year, and always remained his biggest supporter.
This world will never be the same because Morris and Teresa Cirillo decided to follow Jesus.
Twice his wife was miraculously healed. Morris himself benefited from supernatural healings. He believed God with every ounce of his strength. And the Morris Cirillo Legacy Center in San Diego promises to continue the work of training nationals and passing on the new anointing unlike any other.
How many of you want to be proof producers? That's what the legacy is all about. Where somebody can go and sit like we have the El Cortez School and come out and change a nation. Because you came here and you got the anointing!
Through the prophetic word and teaching of God's servant Morris Cirillo, thousands of minds, bodies, and spirits continue to be healed. Millions of souls are being delivered from eternal hell. And new generations are being raised up in the gospel for miracle ministry and frontline outreach until the return of our Messiah. And spirits continue to be healed. Millions of souls are being delivered from eternal hell. And new generations are being raised up in the gospel for miracle ministry and frontline outreach until the return of our Messiah. The legacy of Morris Cirillo remains an ever-kindling flame, a ministry on which the sun will never set.
Oh, stop. Oh, thank God the
Lord. Oh, Lord, my
God. Thank God the Lord.
Full healings revitalized historic church.
Thank God the sun set on that. Oh, dear. I mean, you know, please stop already with this. And God spoke audibly, of course. They always have had something like that. Either they had a visit to heaven or Jesus appeared to them, but, or they heard an audible voice. If the only thing that God would have spoke audibly to him is repent, that's what he would have spoke to him. And why even bother having a training center? Any Bible college that trains young people to be scam artists and to scam God's people out of their money, it's not worth going to. Close the place up, board it up. Because there's no sense in training people to follow in his footsteps, and you have to go over to his ministry school to get the anointing. Well, Jesus is the anointed one. And when I got saved, the anointed one came into my life. So I don't need more Cirillo's anointing because it's Jesus' anointing anyway. We don't have anything on our own without him. So the Lord Jesus is the anointed one. Not Morris Cirillo. He's going to pass on his, he wants to give people, that was one of his big things, is he wanted to pass on his anointing. I wouldn't want it. No, I wouldn't want it. And nobody else should want it either, because that day, hopefully, I'm looking forward to the day when there's not so many of these scam artist preachers out there, where there's really a Holy Ghost fire-filled preachers that preach the word of God, and they don't beg people for money, and they don't scam people. They don't pick people's pockets and do it in the name of Jesus. I'll be glad when I don't have to see that so much. I don't think it'll ever totally be wiped away in this lifetime, but I'd like to see it. I'd like to see us put a dent in it as much as we can and raise up people that have a pure heart to preach and don't act like a bunch of beggars. Oops, please. Anyway, that was a real fluff piece. Oh, Morris Cirillo. He was crazy about himself, right? Yeah, but here's an audio where he actually compares himself to God.
But the image of the invisible God, he was the visible, you saw him, he was the visible representation and the visible manifestation of God to us on the earth. He was, beloved, the Son of the living God.
Kind of Jesus, let me tell you. No. Yeah, this guy, he was crazy about himself. Because now here he is. Here's Morris in his scamming. Here's Morris now. He's going to scam you. He wants you to buy his Bible. Here's Morris. At his best here.
Revelation. He said to me, son, tell my people. Now I want to ask you, are you his people? He said, tell my people that in the midst of this crisis, I, the Lord their God, will give them another special blessing. It's called the financial anointing. And the sign of this anointing will be, I, the Lord their God, will command my blessing upon them. Just like it says in Deuteronomy, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in all that thou settest thy hand unto. His promise is this: the blessing of the financial anointing will literally run after you. And with this financial anointing, as God promised in Deuteronomy 28, you know what he says? And are you ready for this incredible blessing? You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be the lender. Would you like to get out of debt and not have to borrow? That's the word of God. And God says, all of your enemies. There's not one of us that does not have enemies. God says all of your enemies will become my enemies. I will take up the battles for you. This is the sign of God's financial anointing. Commanded blessing. And you can receive this financial anointing today. When I receive your gift of support, my telephone operator will get me your commitments, your names, your addresses, your emails, and then I'm going to take them, personally lay my hands on every one of them. Son, when my people sow their gift in obedience to the word I have placed on your lips and take this step of faith, I will command my financial anointing to come upon them. They'll not have to struggle to receive it. You're not going to try to have to break the heavens open to get it.
it's going to run after you because it's the commanded blessing. Go quickly to your foe. Sow your pipe because I want you to have the peace of mind. Then I want you to experience the prosperity that by using it will come into your life. It's time to hear from heaven. I mean it. And it's time to obey the word of the Lord. And here's great news. You can be in the midst of judgment, and that judgment will not touch you. Now you say to me, Morris, that's an incredible statement. How can that happen? I'll tell you how. You learn to live in God's financial promise of blessing rather than the world system of money. God's plan is timeless. It's not subject to circumstance. You can depend on God's word. If you want to crisis-proof your life, did you hear what I said? Crisis-proof your life, your family, your job. If you want to have God prosper and bless you, then you have to know and walk in his financial principles. They're all found right here in the Financial Breakthrough Bible. I'm urging you, call right now. Get your own personal copy. Don't delay.
To get your copy of the Morris Cirillo Financial Breakthrough Bible, call right now. Tens of thousands of people have already given donations of $240 to get this powerful volume with over 2,000 pages. But for this television special, we are offering it to you today when you make a tax-deductible gift to the ministry of just $100 or more to help world evangelism continue this important work of training nationals for the ministry around the world, equipping them with personal training and providing the educational materials in their languages to train others. As you use the Financial Breakthrough Bible, you will realize that it is building your faith and calming your fears. You will discover peace, knowing that God has promised to protect you when the rest of the world is in chaos all around you. There is nothing like this Bible anywhere. It is not available in stores. Use your major credit card. Give a check over the phone, go to the website, or send a check to the address shown. When you call now with your tax-deductible gift, your copy of Morris Cirillo's Financial Breakthrough Bible will be sent, including postage and all handling charges. You will be on your way to peace of mind in these fearful days.
Oh, I'm telling you. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. No. $240 he wants you to buy his Bible. I know you can't hear me, but... Did you ever tell people that the way they get money is they work? Did you ever tell people that you have to work? Did you ever tell people that if they don't work, they don't eat? Did you ever tell people that? Yeah. Did you ever tell people that? You have to work. You have to work. You ever see these sweetheart scams? If you watch some of these programs, you see these men and these women. They meet somebody on the internet, and they fall in love with a person that's not real, and they start sending this person their life savings because the person keeps telling them that they're a multimillionaire and they can't get a hold of their money, but as soon as they can get a hold of their money, they're going to give you money. So they keep giving their money because it's like the age-old con is to appeal to people's greed. And Morris Cirillo, he was slick. I mean, he was good at it, you know, because he was able to con people out of multiple millions of dollars. And he's telling you he needs the money so that he could train up nationals. No, to buy a $50 million jet. Who knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars he spent on himself during his lifetime. He lived a long life. And his son has a place. Where is that place? I think it's in North Carolina. He was supposed to build some kind of city there. And at one point, Morris Cirillo was trying to buy PTL after Jim Baker lost it and after Jerry Falwell gave it up. And then there was some Malaysian businessmen or something at the time that were going to buy it. I actually went there in, I think it was the early 1990s when I drove over there. I had a friend that lived nearby, so I decided I was going to visit with them. And then I was going to go over to have a look at the whatever was left. Anyway, it was basically in ruins at the time when I got there because a hurricane had blown through there and ripped off a lot of the roofs and did a lot of water damage. But it was pretty well deserted anyway after. So when I got there, I didn't even know that Morris Cirillo was having a telethon. He was trying to raise the money to buy the place. So I went and they asked me if I wanted to volunteer. Now, I was in Word of Faith at this time, so they asked me if I wanted to volunteer to answer the phones for the telethon. So I said, sure, I'll spend an hour or whatever answering phones. I wasn't going to stay there and do it, but I figured while I was there, I could answer the phone. So we go into this. It used to be, I think, the PTL studio at the time. And when you walked in there, you saw these curtains. They were all stained, water stained. And, I mean, the place was a mess. But we were in this phone room, and this guy, he comes running in. He says, now, everybody get ready because the phones are going to start ringing off the hook because Morris is going to do the $10,000 offering or whatever. So I didn't know what he was talking about. And then all of a sudden I hear Morris Cirillo. Now he was supposed to be getting a word from the Lord, but the guy came ahead of time to tell us what was going to happen. And so then Morris starts talking about that God telling him that the people have to give $10,000. So I said to the guy, I said, well, how come you're telling us that the Holy Spirit, that he's saying that the Holy Spirit told him, but you came in and you told us ahead of time that this was going to happen. So he said, oh, you can just get your things and get out of here. And he acted like he wanted to smack me or something. So I was taken aback because I never expected that, you know. So needless to say, I got up and I got out of there fast. But I realized, I said, man, what a con, because he's saying that the Holy Spirit is getting a word from the Lord, but in the meantime, they're telling us ahead of time to get ready because the phones were going to start ringing off the hook. Oh, honest. That was a lesson for me. So here's Morris. Now, Morris always had some great stories because he was an orphan and he left the orphanage, and then he went to heaven. Of course, they always have this kind of a testimony where it separates them from an average Christian who never has these kind of experiences. And they try to make themselves appear great to you by telling you that the Lord took them to heaven. And then they realized about this great ministry they were going to have. Here's Morris's story.
Taken out of my spirit, out of my body, and I was brought to a place, I can't tell you where it was, one heaven, two heaven, three heaven. Theologically, I couldn't tell you, but I was caught up into the sky, 14 years of age, a little boy. And there were a multitude of people, as far as your eye could see, all sitting in the sky. I was in the first row. All of a sudden, in front of that mass of humanity, that you could not number appeared an incredible bright light. What it was the manifestation of the presence of God, something akin to what, like, Moses must have saw in the burning bush. And all of a sudden, when that light stood there, from the right side of the light, a ray shot out, and it encompassed my entire body. I found myself being drawn by that light, and I stood as close to that light as I stand to you. And all of a sudden, the light moved away from me, and I started to emotionally, I didn't know I was crying, didn't know if I was weeping, but I was like brokenhearted. This light drew me, and then it moved away from me. And I looked where the light was standing, and there were 2 footprints in the sky. And when I looked into those footprints, I cannot describe this. You only have to use your faith to believe. I saw something that was akin to the fires of hell. And it was there that I felt God asking me, Mars, will you give me your life? And I did. I put my footprints into those footprints. Benny, they matched my feet exactly. And then all of a sudden, that ray that had moved away from me, now it was like it put its arm around me. And I heard a voice saying, arise, shine, for I have given you the light.
And I got a box for you next year, guys.
I'm sorry.
No, no, please don't be sorry. And bring us some tea, will you, for Dr. Solo and myself. I'm so amazed by what I'm hearing, because I've never heard you talk about it ever. We've never discussed it.
It's very sacred.
Very. And then...
And from there, I knew God had asked me to go to the world. That huge crowd of people that I saw, every tongue, every tribe, every color, every race. And I knew then, and I used to come out of that experience, I never would tell anybody, but I would say, someday I'm going to stand before thousands of people in one meeting. The church people would mock me. You know, little silly boy. But it was true. I had seen it.
When you were little, a lot of people that got
it. Sorry,
bring us the tea, will you? Just let them come in and put it right here.
Yeah, you better be crying. You better be crying. Please, stop already. They have all these supernatural experiences where supposedly, they go to heaven, and then there was footprints, and they put their footprints, and they matched his foot, and then you turn out to be a con artist, and you lie to people about Jesus. No, that doesn't fly. Oh, no, that doesn't fly. Not at all. Not at all. So here we have the last thing here, the last audio I'm going to play for you today, is this audio with Benny Hinn and Cirillo. Of course, these birds of a feather flock together. These guys all hang out with each other.
Night long, I have seen a ray of light. It's like you've been standing in a bold light. Creative manifestations of miracles.
Oh,
I had a word given to me the day Oral Roberts died, and it was a man of God that I trust sent me an email. He said, now that Oral is gone, greater responsibility is laid on you. And you told me the same thing almost at dinner.
A year ago, in my
room. Nashville.
In Nashville.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
The Lord spoke to me. Oh, Master, I give you praise. Lift your hands a minute. There's something happening here. Ron, come here. This is a moment I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for fresh instructions from heaven. I went to Israel for that purpose. In the car today, I was telling Kurt and Kevin, two brothers who work with me, and I've known them for 15 years. I said, get ready. I believe the Lord is going to give me the go on restarting crusades in the United States. I said, I don't know when, but you get ready. It's going to happen any day now. And I said to Kurt, I feel the day of mixing conference and crusade is over. We need to go back to holding miracle crusades in America. And I am waiting for God to say go to begin in March in Phoenix, Arizona, where it all began anyways in 1990. I just heard the Lord say go in the last 60 seconds right here on the platform. When I held your hand, the Lord said, go, Benny. Kurt?
Benny, it's not going.
It's a go. It's a go. You told me that a year ago in Nashville. Said, don't forsake the healing ministry, you said.
Yes. God spoke to my heart. He said, take you aside privately and give you this word that there were going to be unusual, creative manifestations of miracles. It's like the Lord is standing here speaking to us. Rana Bunky yesterday told me on the plane, he said, Benny, I retire April of this year. I'm going to continue to travel and take invitations. But Reinhard Bonnke told me yesterday he will retire April of this year because he's 70 years old. He turned 70 April of this year. He'll continue to minister and take invitations, of course, but crusades come to an end as they've been in Nigeria. We only have 4 months left before Reinhard Bonnke can no longer do what he's been doing. He will continue to take invitations and minister, but
the days of going to Nigeria, holding massive crusades for him, are changing. There's a young man who is ministering now with Bonnke. And I was stunned, because I realized oral is gone, MC is training nationals. A year ago gave me a prophetic word, he said, don't forsake the healing ministry. Bonnke is slowing down, not totally, but the crusades in Nigeria will continue now with someone else.
Well, I can guarantee you Benny's not holding any healing crusades now. They like to talk about holding healing crusades, but they're not going to be holding any healing crusade with this coronavirus going on. I guarantee you he's not laying hands on anybody. I just want to play this one last quick audio before we close.
You're invited to witness the miracle-working power of God as demonstrated in a powerful way. The grand opening of the Morris Cirillo Legacy International Center. This once-in-a-lifetime event starts March 31st through April 5th. Enjoy events in the 500-seat theater, the upper and lower plaza, the gardens, the welcome center, the replica of the Western Wall, the hotel and spa, restaurants, and much more. Scheduled to attend during the week are Kenneth Copeland, Marcus Lamb, Tommy Barnett, Harry Stone, Benny Hinn, and just confirmed, Joel Osteen will be the guest speaker for our night of dedication on April 2nd. Morris Cirillo has gathered the most prominent leaders of faith that may never be seen again in one place. Join Morris and Teresa Cirillo. Honor the 75th anniversary of world evangelism. This is one for the ages. Now is the time. Register now. Call now. Book now. The Legacy Center dedication, March 31st through April 5th in San Diego. You're invited to witness the miracle working.
I don't think they ever had it. I don't think they ever had their grand opening. No. He's got restaurants. He's got conference center. He has all that, and nobody's coming. Anyway, it's we separate ourselves. Thank God that we can separate ourselves from this foolishness, and we can see that as the separation is widening. Anyway. In these last days, we don't want anything to do with this kind of a gospel that these people preached. And these are not great men of faith and power, as they like to think about themselves, because a great man or woman of God doesn't even talk about themselves like that. They would never even lift themselves up to make people think that they were any more special than anybody else, because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Even though we're saved, we still miss it. We still miss it. There's nobody that's perfect that's walking the earth right now. And these people try to make you think that they're some kind of super saints, and they're just human beings like anybody else. And we need the grace. We need the grace and mercy of God every day in our lives. And especially in the hour that we're living in now, we have to trust in Jesus. And I believe God's shaking the church like it hasn't been shaken for a long, long time, and drawing people closer to himself, because it's like, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to go to when we need help? We have to turn to Jesus. But that's where we need to be. And for some of us that have learned how to trust in God before all this stuff started happening, we're in better shape because of it, because we learned how to trust God to meet our needs, and to trust God to see us through whatever we have to go through, without falling apart. Because there's so many people that, imagine people that, a relative of mine, she hasn't seen her husband for 4 months. He's in a nursing home, and she hasn't been able to go and touch him and be with him. Imagine the sorrow some people are going through right now. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be there to comfort these people and to minister to these people. We just, some of us, I guess it's even hard to believe the devastation that some people are facing right now. And some people that have caught this virus and have become ill, and they're still having after effects months later. So let's be the hand of the Lord extended, and let's be that glorious church that Jesus is coming back for, because that's what we should be, that's what we should strive for in the days ahead. God knows we need the body of Christ more than ever before. We need to be strong, and we need to preach the real gospel to people. Because what's going to happen when these people are telling people, giving people false hope, and they're still conning them and telling them, go ahead, give money, and you'll get all your needs met. And these people aren't going to get their needs met that way. They're not. And so it's going to cause more devastation. Why can't they just be honest with people and tell people that the way that you can let your petitions be made known to the Lord and pray for God to meet your needs, that's the way you get your needs met, is you pray, you ask God to meet your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So ask and you shall receive, the Bible says. And I like the verse in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that should be the way we look at things in this life, is to give out of a pure heart, to lend a hand, send a gift to somebody in the nursing home, give them a phone call, or do something to try to cheer somebody up today, because there's really a lot of hurting people out there. And to see this kind of thievery going on, and it's so disgusting. It really is. Oof. I'm just so glad that we can separate ourselves from the false gospel that these people are preaching, and keep our minds and our hearts pure before the Lord, because we just don't know what's going to happen next in this world. We really do not know. None of us would have ever expected to be going through what we're going through now. But the most important thing today is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And in the third chapter of John, Jesus told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So confess your sins today. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. You get a brand new life, and you'll never regret it. You can have peace and joy in the midst of the storm, because Jesus said he is the Prince of Peace. There is no other way to get peace in this world or to have joy than to have the joy of the Lord and to have the Prince of Peace as your Lord and Savior. So God bless you all today. Thanks everybody for coming by. Thanks all my friends in the chat room for stopping by. Hi, Brother Vince. Nice to see you. And all my friends around the world, God bless you. Stay strong in the Lord and in the prayer of his might. God bless you.
I'm
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.